cliffcentral.com.
You know, when I hear people talk about new age kwaito, I get a bit finicky. I don't like it. Because kwaito, in my mind, is this. Like, I mean, this was the golden age of kwaito. This is when everyone decided, you know what, I'm going to be the best kwaito musician in the country. And Kabelo is a great example of such.
The ad-libs were so easy, man. You just went in, you just came from wherever, or woke up from whatever, and you came into the studio, and the energy was natural. It was authentic. It was beautiful. That is what kwaito is. It's authentic, original, South African. It's only here, bro.
I mean, it can't be faked. It can't be duplicated. It can't be moved to some other place. It was just so natural. It sounded as if, for me, kwaito will always go down as the soundtrack of the hood till this day.
True. No doubt. It had to be part of your upbringing, part of your growth, man. Having lived in that space, having heard TKZ, like that whole era of
Mapaputi,
the classic.
Man, I saw him yesterday. He was on one of the programs on SABC 3 yesterday. Yeah, no, that guy is legendary.
And I mean, a lot of people gave him the nickname the Busta Rhymes of South African kwaito because, I mean, he was the first one to pitch up with a different kind of flow. No one jumped on kwaito like that.
During the original kwaito era, that's when our cars went vroom vroom and not skrr skrr.
Yeah.
When she goes skrr skrr, you know she's too young for you or he's too young for you. That's how you know
that's
the difference right there.
I totally agree. That kwaito was actually a culture.
It was.
I just hope and wish that one day we'd reconnect with that culture and have a good time again.
Do you know what I think it is?
Yeah.
Last year when we got the opportunity to sit down with Nikki B, actually, let's do this. First and foremost, welcome to the show.
Okay.
We just started. Welcome to the show. You are now in the company of these three colorful individuals. My love monkeys.
The squad is back.
The squad is back.
The
can you believe it?
It's fucking back.
You know what? Because it's such a glorious occasion, I don't want to have a moment of silence.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of silence right now.
Yeah, so, we can't. Yeah. We can't have silence.
Welcome to it. It is 20 something on cliffcentral.com. I am just another cool kid, or Jack for short. I'm also joined by Miss Londi Sam. How are you doing, Londi?
I'm great, Jack. How are you?
Fantastic.
What a lovely week.
We're
going to
get into that.
Week.
We're going to get into that in a second. But I am more than happy. I am overjoyed to welcome back my brother in arms.
Yeah.
Mr. Neo Van Given, man. How you doing, Neo?
Girls that wear chokers want to get choked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Neo Van Given gives good strokes.
Yes.
Because he's not a being, he's a heavenly body.
There we go.
What's up?
The monkey's back.
He's back, man. He's back. Like, do you know we didn't have anyone to do that every week? Like, you haven't been around for what?
For a while.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you for coming back. Your hand looks...
It's horrific. I've ruined my hand. So there's that going on. But hey, it's all good, man. Just one day at a time, you know?
One day at a time.
Yeah.
All right. Just to freak out people, I'm going to tweet the picture you sent me of your hand after the accident.
You must see it now.
I don't want to
really
see it now.
Now it's really scary.
Now it's really bad. The backside of it.
Yeah.
The steel rods that they put in to balance my finger, because that was just...
Okay.
Nearly came off, essentially. Yeah. So the steel rods are on the outside of my hand.
Okay.
So it's I sort of look like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Wolverine type. Wolverine. So that's where I am right now.
No,
good time.
You know what,
I like how he gives himself names.
Yeah,
why not?
He's
okay with it.
No, I think you're more like Wolverine because of your hair and the beard. Edward Scissorhands didn't have a beard.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And he was Caucasian, so there's that as well.
And besides, Wolverine can't die. I think that's just badass.
I'm never going to die, people. I'm going to live forever.
After that, there's no way.
You know, I'm that kid that doesn't get sick often.
For sure.
But when something bad does happen, it's an event.
Yeah.
It's like fill up the dome. That guy is sick. It happened. It's an occasion. You need to celebrate. So that's how that happened.
Look, hospital visits aren't fun. So you avoiding them is a good thing, I think, personally. Yeah. You know,
I don't wish that on anybody. Pray that they get out soon and get out healthier.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Ah, right. We were talking about kwaito before we had to you know, get back to the fact that we are hosting the show. So, Kwaito music, man. It's this whole new age Kwaito versus Wada Wada. I think that is something that should die. Plus, when you look at South African music at this point in time, we sat down with Nikki B last year. And she pointed out the fact that if you have trap as your instrumental, you rapping in vernac on top of it does not make it South African.
True. That is so true.
It's just you sampling something from somewhere else and then putting in a little South African flavor.
I saw a music video by Mshoza this morning.
Yeah.
Just put that out there. That was weird for me.
which one? Abantu Bamlaba.
Yeah, that one.
I know, it's so weird.
It's such a strange experience. I was like, no, but this is wow. I still don't know how to feel about it right now. But maybe it'll grow on me as time goes on. It's odd. She looks different and she's like, ah.
I think when it comes to Mshoza, it was a case of the song being bigger than they expected. I mean, when they put out Moto Gistoko, they didn't think it would take over the country like that. I mean, she was, for the lack of a better term, she was our Nicki Minaj, you know, and
it was,
let's
see what is going to happen if we put this one out.
Yeah.
I mean, then it blew everybody's mind.
It's like the one day you can walk down the street without being bothered, like no one really noticing you. And then the next day you can't even catch a taxi, nothing, you know. So maybe it was a case of that. And plus, her life has been, you know, somewhat tumultuous. You know, the marriages, the skin bleaching, the, you know. So when you factor in all of those things, it can be a bitter pill to swallow.
I suppose let's be happy for the experience that we had and see what comes next.
Very true.
Do you guys think it's possible for Kwaito to actually come back? Is it possible for Kwaito to be resuscitated?
I think for me personally, it's going to take someone to not be afraid. I feel like musicians nowadays are extremely afraid of trying something new, you know? And because everyone knows what makes money and what sells, everyone's going to do that. But I think the people we should be looking out for are the people that are working outside of that, you know? Maybe we don't need old Kwaito to come back. We need a new, you know, a more authentic sounding variation of what we know as Kwaito, I think.
Can someone explain to me why we have so many people in this country, so many employed, highly paid individuals in this country that are not doing their work?
You know,
how the hell did we get here?
It's such a mind-boggling thing.
It's adults.
So weird. It is so weird. You sit there and you watch news day in and day out and you're like, but how? How is it that no one is doing what they're supposed to be doing? How is it even possible?
Do you know what I discovered? Trying to answer those questions is the root of insanity. Seriously, I mean, you find, there's so many things that we could, all of us right now, could point out something that should be common sense, but is not. You know, and we're talking about major things that could ultimately affect you and I, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my personal opinion is that the people that sit in those high-rise buildings and at the top and whatnot, I feel like they spend too much time up there. They don't really know the inner workings of what happens on the street level.
They don't.
So it's pretty difficult for them to put themselves in the general public's shoes because they haven't been part of the general public for a very long time.
It's so tiring. It's so frustrating to be living in. I think, you know, someone said this country needs a vacation. Like, I couldn't agree more.
If we could find a plane big enough.
You know.
I think we would do it.
Guys, the 24 million heist.
Oh, yeah. Oar Tambo. Yeah.
Someone called it a conspiracy theory. I'm like, but guys, where did you expect the 17 million people? What did you expect? There are 17 million people who are potentially not going to have their grants on the 1st of
April.
Isn't it strange that such happens in OR. Like, I mean, what did you expect?
You are taking these places right now.
No, but yeah, I'm just thinking. I just had a thought. I'm like, but it doesn't. It makes sense to me.
Right. Is no, okay.
What if the 24K is going to 24 million is going to be used for?
Karen.
Woo!
Here's my
for
question.
For the first.
No, okay.
Because, I mean, that heist was too clean. Like, it's written higher power all over it.
Okay, here's my question, right? Like, you
no.
decided to connect dots in your mind, right?
It's just my opinion. It's
right?
Just
I love
you
it.
Took, you took current affairs and you molded it into your own little... Then, my question would be, who's behind it? If those two things are connected, who's behind the heist?
All I'm saying there is reason higher power all over it. That's all I'm saying.
A very big signature on
you know
that contract.
There is. There is. But think of it. Think of it like that. And I mean, it just makes sense to me.
We need more of you. We need more Londy minds, man.
Right. And it seems a lot of things are happening around OR Tambo. Today, in fact, there was a strike by Meet the Taxi Owners.
Yeah.
And they want Uber gone. Like, Uber must chuck now. You know? And to me, like, it puts me in two positions. I don't know where to stand on this issue. Because on the one side, we look at Meet the Taxis and say, well, you heard about Uber and such kind of services. Why didn't you migrate into a place whereby you could compete with Uber at least?
Yeah.
Why didn't you upgrade your stuff on your side? But at the same time, it's like, how many people use those kind of Meet the Taxis, and did they have the infrastructure and the money that Uber has? Because Uber is an international company.
Yeah.
Now. So how do they compete? But at the same time, are they being big babies? That's where I'm stuck.
It's hard to strike a balance into the two, because I just feel like they are being babies. Big babies they are, because I mean it just doesn't make sense. You knew there was change happened, and why didn't you follow through, or at least
come up with a different way of doing business?
Yeah, to actually compete with those people. But you sat there and you're like, nah, I'm good. And you were so complacent about it. And when things start to happen, you make noise about it. But why?
Hey, people gotta eat. People have got to eat.
Straight up, man.
It's
the end of the day. Simple. People have to eat. And you can't blame them for wanting to eat, because the system is created in such a way that some of us won't eat and all of us, others will eat all the time.
Yeah.
That's the system. So you can't blame people for wanting to eat, man.
Yeah, you can't. All right. So this has been a very interesting week. I will say that. A lot of things have happened this week. Can I just, as a Barcelona fan, can I just have this moment?
Are you also going to do this now?
We're only on air on Fridays. So the game was on Wednesday.
You are one of those people who actually convinced themselves that those penalties were actually legit.
Okay, look.
No, I'm just asking you one of them.
Here's what I'm going to say.
A simple yes or no would do,
No, a simple yes or no is not going to cover the answer, okay? Here's what I'm saying. The game ended on Wednesday. The scoreline was 6-1. That's not going to change, okay? Whether the penalties were dubious or not, Barcelona made history on Wednesday.
You are a true South African.
All I'm saying is this. If you're...
That answer there, right there, says you're a true South African.
Thank you.
You've learned a lot.
By the way, if you're looking for anything inside that case, don't look anymore, because it's closed. Thank you. Moving swiftly along.
Sounds like the leaders of this country.
I don't know if that's a compliment what. But nonetheless, we are going to move along swiftly. We are joined by... How do you actually describe a person of... such caliber? Like, how would you put it into words? When I was doing my research during the week,
man, there's so much of it,
you know, like on a daily basis. You find something on Monday and then you're like, okay, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
And then on a Tuesday it's like, wait a minute, that's even more impressive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As the week goes on, there's another layer that comes out.
Yeah.
And another one and another one, and you're like,
Become more curious.
You do. You try to find out.
And finally the moment comes and you wonder if you're prepared enough.
Right.
You know?
And there's things that truly make me nervous. I'm a very outgoing person. I'm a outspoken, loud mouthed, short individual.
Woo!
Well, I won't say short. I'll say fun-sized, right? Individual. And I don't mind meeting people. In fact, I enjoy meeting people. But there's some people... when you hear their names being mentioned, you're like, ah, well, we might just have to postpone that one.
But it has to be done.
It has to be done.
Yeah.
Before we actually introduce who we're talking to, just letting you guys know that are listening to the show, if you want to be in contact with us, you can send us your messages on WhatsApp, because that's what we do now. 079-748-2090. That is the number you can add onto WhatsApp. You send us your messages at cliffcentral.com, at JNG_live, at Jack_5'4", at Van Given, at LondiSam_. There's tons of ways you can be in communication with us. But the reason you want to be in communication with us is because we are joined by the incomparable, phenomenal. Do you have any hyperboles we can use here? I mean, it's just...
If I was asked, what is Africa?
Right.
I'd point in that direction.
There we go.
I'd be like, Africa is... That is...
There we go.
Right there.
This is what we esteem to be.
Africa.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There it is.
We are joined this afternoon by Dr. Precious Muzepe.
Woo!
That needs something. Do you need something?
That needs something. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I think that's befitting. We need it too.
All right.
We need it too.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Justin, Londi and Neo, thank you so much for having me in the studio.
You know, I'm not going to be mad at you. It's Jack, but I'll be Justin if you want me to. It's okay. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful day. It's wonderful to listen to your show. This is exciting to be here.
Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you for joining us. It goes without saying that you are a very busy individual. So we're not going to waste too much time. And we're just going to jump straight into it. You know, I'm always fascinated when I meet people like yourself. I always want to know how it all began. I mean, we always find out what happens at the end of the story, but no one really takes the time to find out what happened in the beginning. Who is, before she became doctor, who is Precious?
Oh gosh, who is she? She is a young girl that grew up in Tladi in Soweto.
Okay.
Was brought up by her grandmother, has three sisters, one brother, a family that worked very hard to ensure that we grew up with the values of Ubuntu. And thank you so much for that kind introduction. I'm really humbled. And also instilled in us the value of hard work, education, a mother and father who were truly, truly phenomenal.
Yeah.
So that's what Precious is.
In a nutshell.
New Precious is also on social media, but barely so. She has a Twitter account. I think it's hers. Well, it is hers because I'm assuming it's hers. Or someone might have created it as you. So there's a Twitter account that only has two tweets on there. The one tweet says, I hope Twitter will make me feel normal. Rings butler for Evian. So there's that. And the other really phenomenal thing or crazy thing that sort of scares me all the time is that these major individuals, these influential beings, are on other people, like you and I's phones. Mm-hmm. We download their pictures and we're like, we have them on there. But do you know that you are on other people's phones? Like, they put you up even on Instagram. One person put you up on Instagram and said, one day is one day. Like, it's going to happen. I'm going to be that being.
He's
like,
a man with a dream.
You are everywhere.
Wow. I didn't know that, but I mean, this is South Africa. This is Africa. And it's important that we all have people that we look up to.
Yeah, for sure.
I've always had people that I looked up to. And if other people think I'm that person, I'm honored, and I hope I represent them well.
Speaking of which, you mentioned your parents earlier on, and I would think it takes a special type of parent to raise a daughter like yourself. Mm-hmm. Who were the type of people that you were looking up to? Well, outside of your parents, that is.
My grandmother was a huge influence in my life.
Mm. Woo!
And of course, my sisters. I looked up to. When I knew that I wanted to study medicine is when I lost my grandmother. I sat with my mom on a bench at Baragwanath Hospital. It was then called Baragwanath. And
yes.
Watched her, you know, go into kidney failure, and eventually I think I was 7 years old. And when we left, I said to my mom, you know, I think I'm going to be a doctor so I can help other people.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, God willing, that happened. I became a doctor, but other things kept driving me. And other people, it's very important for us to realize how we get influenced by those around us.
For sure. You know, I've at least in my own trials and tribulations, I've found that sometimes it's very difficult to match your ambition with your discipline. You know, more especially when in days like that we live in nowadays, more especially yes. with the different distractions that we come across. What would be your advice to someone who struggles between knowing what they want and being disciplined enough to get there?
You know, I think that's very important, and nobody's short of ideas. We all have ideas. I always say to my boys, two of them are over 20 and my last one is 14, and I always say to them, you know, you must dream big, but make sure that you support your dreams with daily action. You've got to break it down to yourself to say,
sure,
as you wake up every morning, what am I going to do today to, you know, achieve my dream, to walk towards that big dream? And it's the little things that we do every day, the small decisions that you make every day, that will eventually get you to where you're going. You know, whatever you're doing, ask yourself, is this getting me to where I want to be?
For sure. I've got a really cool uncle. He actually said something similar to that. He said, if small things don't make a difference, try to go to sleep with a mosquito in the room. You know? And it became so clear to me that, you know, it actually takes a day-to-day discipline.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
What a courageous decision to make at such a young age. What a strong decision to take to pursue becoming a doctor, becoming a medical practitioner. So have you always had that foundation of strength instilled within you? And sort of when you aim at something, you don't stop until it's achieved.
I think for most people, you know, with your generation, of course, it's always about, I want it now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it has to happen now. But I think it's a long road, and we mustn't forget that, and you must always celebrate it with small achievements. You know, your small achievements, you must always learn to celebrate. But yes, you're right. In terms of discipline, it is important to be disciplined. We all love fun. It's always going to be there, you know. But remember that upilagaiwan. So just go for your dreams and just do it.
We forget that as 20-somethings at times that the parties are always going to be there, man.
They always are.
What happened?
Sorry. I had a sip of water, switched off the mic. My bad. Sorry.
The alcohol will always be there. The company will always be there. But the success, that might not come. You might not get that if you don't work on it constantly.
Yeah.
You are a leading expert, a frontier in terms of the fashion industry, in terms of your work that you do in that field. We had Masichaba Ndlovu in like
last year.
Was it
around August?
Yeah,
last year
already.
Yeah, it was.
What?
See?
In November
already.
Yeah.
Damn. And she had a show on SABC 2, Musewaka, where she talked to phenomenal women and in terms of what role clothing plays in their lives. So what stories do you think clothing has to tell, and, you know, what role does clothing play in your personal capacity?
Gosh, I think, you know, the way we dress is somehow speaks louder than we can say about who we are and what our dreams are and what we believe in. Clothing is just an external expression of who we are internally. Talking about clothing, I mean, I've gone from wearing a white lab coat in hospital, gone on to do things like look after the Family Foundation, and as well as fashion, which these are things I'm passionate about. I really love what I do. I'm very lucky, and that makes it easy for me to do what I do. But clothing speaks loud.
While I was reading up about you, I was trying to figure out how those two things came together. Being a doctor on the one side, and then being a chairperson of an organization as the African Fashion...
International.
International, sorry.
That's right.
How did those two come together?
again, it's you know, you dream of things and you wish to do things, but they stay at the back of your mind and don't happen immediately. So I've practiced as a doctor. I loved doing it. What frustrated me working in my practice was that I wanted to reach more women, and I wasn't able to do that in the confined space. You know, I could only see so many people a day.
At a day, yeah.
Yeah. So I decided one of my passions is reading. I love to read, and I love to share information. So when Ntate Motsepe and I decided to start with the foundation, the Family Foundation, where we educate young, you know, kids, take them to university. I thought, for me, getting information out there, particularly to people like Ulondi, the ladies, is very, very important because of my experiences as a young doctor, actually realizing that, hey, you know, our people don't really have access to information. It might be a very educated person, or it could be a domestic worker, but when it came to critical, essential information, they just did not have access to that. And it's always been my dream to develop either a book or a way of communicating to people, whether they're in rural communities or in the townships. And that came to fruition of the Little Black Book, which we launched the other day.
Yes.
But how I got into fashion was also, we all love clothes, don't we, Lund?
Of course, of course.
And I noticed through my travel that, you know, going to Paris Fashion Week before I got into the industry, that Russian people, Chinese people, you know, they all were showcasing at these big platforms. And I thought we actually had more creativity, you know. We're really the cradle of humankind.
Mm. Yeah.
And I wasn't seeing Africa represented out there. And, you know, that got me thinking, how does one put together a platform that can propel young fashion designers to become global brands? And that's how African Fashion International was started. It was really initiated to be that platform that markets, propels, and promotes African designers.
When you sit down and think about what you want to accomplish, and does it happen that sometimes you fail to get to accomplish a certain thing that you wanted to do? And how do you come back from that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a very important question, and I'm glad you asked me. I'll tell you a few failures, I guess. When I finished my medical studies, I wanted to study pediatrics, become a pediatrician. I did a diploma in pediatrics, that is, after finishing 7 years of medical school. I passed that, I finished, and then I wanted to go on and specialize. It's a 4-year degree to become a pediatrician. And I did my primaries and I didn't pass. It was such a crushing thing. It was terrible. Mm. I had never failed, you know, at school or university.
For an overachiever.
It was terrible. I actually took time off. I was then married to Mr. Motsepe, and I took time off. I stayed at home to think through what I really wanted to do. Mm. And I realized pediatrics is not really what I wanted to do. I'm driven to studying. I love to read, but I didn't want to spend my time in a hospital. I love children, by the way, but working in a pediatric environment was not really suited to me. Mm. So I let that go. And I remember when I let that go, I just took all of the files that I had from pediatrics and I burnt them. I said, okay, that's gone now.
You didn't even give it away. You just burnt them.
I just got rid of them. And I said, okay, now where do we go from here? And that's when I decided women's health was more in line with who I was and how I could contribute to uplifting women in South Africa. And I studied women's health instead. So coming back from failure is tough.
Yeah.
You know, you feel personally like you failed, but maybe that's not what you were meant to be doing, you know. And when, you know, they say when one door closes, the other one opens.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I didn't go that route, because I would have been very frustrated, I think.
Wow.
We're sitting with the chairperson of Africa Fashion International, Dr. Precious Motsepe. I'm going to veer off for a bit. Okay, first, I have two questions I want to ask. I suppose let me do it in one go. Have you ever seen your face frown? You were talking about failure just now. And in all the pictures that I've seen you, you are always just smiling. I mean, when you were sitting here before we spoke to you, there wasn't a frown on your face. Have you ever seen your face just like upside down? Are you even capable of frowning? Like, it's just like, no, it's not possible.
It's not. Just looking at her face.
You have to ask my children.
You can't picture her frowning.
No.
Yes.
It looks impossible.
I think we can get this one out of the way. I don't mind. I'll answer this for you.
Okay.
Any woman with a child frowns.
Absolutely.
Any woman,
no doubt about
with
it.
A child, at some point, will frown.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a belief that women have always been alive. That women have been built, like they're complete, but men are under construction. And I see this through the actions that women take. There are some women that will come into your life and will help you raise your building, go higher, or they'll knock you down. So for that aspect, for that sense of being, of knowing how to weave yourselves into life, I believe that women have always been alive. What do you think of that?
That's a huge compliment. And I think you're right. I don't know what you think, Londi, but women have always been the backbone of society. You know, I raised three boys, and they always questioned me, why are you so much into women's issues, women's health? And now with the fashion, you're always looking at women's fashion and women fashion designers. You know, with our bursary programs, I always ask my team, how many of those students are women? I think women's potential has not been realized as it should be. And I think we need to empower more women to take up positions of leadership and power. And it's fantastic to see that you've got Ulondi in the studio.
Yeah, we needed a rose amongst these thorns. We needed a rose. Yeah. We couldn't just be sitting here as thorns. We needed a rose.
I wanted to ask you that you are so much into empowering women. And obviously, every now and then you're going to step on
toes.
Most male toes. How do you strike that balance? How do you make sure that your voice is heard and you are going to continue and be the voice for women?
You know, for me, it's not about male bashing.
Yeah,
it's never about male bashing. I had a fantastic father. My dad, I could do no wrong in his eyes. You know. And I look at up to him. He was my first, exposure to the male figure. Mm. You know, so I have huge respect for men. So it's always about, for me, we have left behind 50% of our population, which is women. Mm. How do we fast track their empowerment to get to a phase where men and women can work together to get our country moving forward? We need to be in that place. Mm. So it's never about talking down about men. No, I love the men in my life. I'm the only woman in my house. Mm. Yeah. And they understand that the passion is from trying to help the one half of the population, you know, come up and contribute effectively.
You know, when people... when it comes to women's rights and the obstacles that women face on a daily basis, a lot of us don't take into consideration the history of the world, never mind this country. Mm. In more than one country, you'd find where even when black people were given the right to vote in certain countries, the women were not. Women had to then put together their own struggles and their own strike actions and all of those things in order to be even seen equal to men. You know, you would have men working all day, women being stuck at the home, and they would have to then forsake their dreams, their aspirations, just to raise the family. I think sometimes because we live in a world whereby it seems as if women are given the opportunities that men are, we seem to think that it's okay, it's all hunky-dory.
I think even not in the sense that women had to fight to get to the point where their rights are equal as men, just to be heard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That on its own.
True.
It's such a daunting thing that you have to resort to strikes and everything, yeah, and protests and all that just to be heard.
For sure.
Absolutely. But if I may say that in our work, we also make sure that we educate our boys to be able to, you know, accept the fact that women empowerment is not a threat, but it's something that can complement them.
True.
Even further. Way. You know, and when you men have been running things for so long, aren't we tired? Like, let's take a break for a second. I mean, you know, let's relax for a minute.
Have we really? in most cases, you find that it's women that have been pulling the strings, but the men have been the forefront because the women couldn't come out from the shadow.
And that's what I'm saying.
Because at the time, it wasn't going to be accepted as good enough. It was, sure, if it was coming from a female voice.
For sure.
Because of the perspectives, the patriarchy that exists in society as well. So it's not easy. And I suppose, especially more so as a black woman, that adds even more.
Mm. Yeah,
to what you have to do.
You have to work twice as hard.
Twice.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
As a woman, you have to work twice as hard.
Exactly.
To achieve half of what most men have achieved.
Yeah.
It's such a sad thing.
I think that would be the perfect way for us to jump into the precious little black book.
Yeah.
I love this cover, my God.
It's so amazing, right?
Like, what is this?
Now that I've picked it up, I don't want to put it down.
I want to put it in my mouth. So I want to eat that book. Oh,
the colors, they represent everything. There's strongness, there's power, there's feminine as well. There's a little bit of everything.
There's a line straight after the title. It reads, "A resource guide for women across South Africa." Now, I believe this is a collaborative effort.
Absolutely. I did not write this book. I had a team of researchers. I had from the foundation, people that did a lot of work to find the information. This book is a compilation of some of the stuff when I worked as a doctor. In my practice, I would make notes for people when they came for consultation, just tips on how to take better care of yourself and how to manage your stress, how to deal with anorexia, you know, those little notes. And I thought when I stopped practicing, these would be useful notes to put together and compile a book. But then we realized that, in the fashion business as well, which I'm a part of, or in business in general, women lack information. There is a lack of access to information, where particularly in rural communities, people don't know where to go to apply for a loan. They don't know where to, you know, access markets. They don't know how to market themselves effectively. So we decided back then, as the women's unit of the foundation, to put together this booklet, which speaks to students. We talk there about how to get a bursary. We talk to students about how to choose subjects that will ensure that when you finish school, you are employable or you can start your own jobs. We talk to students about how to put together their CV. We talk about, for women in the workplace, sexual harassment, for instance. We talk to women in general about mental health disorders. We talk about depression, eating disorders. It's just a compilation of where to apply for home loan, for instance, how to apply for a child's grant, and emergency numbers. You know, often people have an emergency and they have no clue who to call.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of people, well, more especially in rural areas and places like Soweto and whatnot, you find that a lot of people, their dreams just die.
Yes.
Because they don't really know how to access those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I think this book makes sense to me now, in as far as what you guys were trying to put together. You had the launch a couple of days ago.
Yes, we did. It was International Women's Day, and belated happy International Women's Day to you, Lundi.
Thank you.
And to the women in your lives, both of you.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I looked out. Yeah, good.
I called my mom, my little sister.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, so I made sure that every woman in my life kind of knew what was going on.
Oh, you're great.
We need more men like you.
I try.
I'm sure.
Londi, you were there. Yeah. How was the launch?
Paint
the picture for us.
It was very informative. It was It was broken into segments. There was a media panel, there was education panel, there was health and business. I couldn't go to all of them.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I just got so consumed. I went to the media and to the business thingy. And, oh my goodness, to see women who are doing such amazing things and who are owning international companies, it was so amazing. And the amount of information, because obviously there's a panel and then there's us who are sitting there and listening. And to see women coming all the way from Free State and saying, listen, we are here because we feel like no one comes to us. And yeah, we are here. We need to be exposed to these things that you guys are talking about. We need you guys to come back and bring all that you're talking about here to the rural areas. And it was such an amazing experience. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I was just consumed the whole time.
That's really cool. That is really cool.
So happy to hear.
With some of the issues that women face in this country. I mean, I heard an alarming statistic a while back. About 7 million school kids can't go to school because of sanitary pads, yeah, or the lack thereof.
Exactly.
When you hear such... I mean, 7 million is not a small number.
No. Nope.
And when you're looking at the different types of issues that women face outside of the sanitary pads issue, how do you go about tackling such issues? I can imagine the book is one way of doing,
yeah,
it. Your foundation, how do you go about tackling issue maybe one, yeah, at a time, or do you spread it out?
Look, I don't think even Bill Gates has the resources to solve,
yeah, yeah,
huge problems like that. So we break it into two bits. It's what we can do immediately and, mm-hmm, what we can afford to do. And then there's the long term, what we can do on a long term basis. So short term, we have committed 1,200 bursaries to students to study in the science, technology, engineering and math programs at universities throughout South Africa. So that then addresses the education bit. And as I said, we ensure that 50% of these are girls.
Okay.
We also work with schools in the 9 provinces. So we have identified primary schools as well as secondary schools where we support the schools with infrastructure problems, and they give us their wish list, and we see what we can do within their wish list. In October last year, myself and Mr. Motsepe visited about, we made 102 commitments in schools. We're not yet done. We're going to be visiting other provinces and made commitments, which we're currently working on in terms of assisting these schools. And that's on a short-term basis. Long-term, we have a program with the women's unit of the foundation called Gender Responsive Budgeting Initiative. Now, this is a program or a tool whereby we encourage government to really look at the budget, because, you know, the government can say this is a priority for us, this is important for us, education is important, women are important, this is important. But without a budget to support that commitment, nothing gets done. So that's why you end up with kids who drop out of school
yeah,
because they do not have sanitary towels, you know, I mean, simple things like that. And once you lose those kids, you know, early on, you have lost them. They're not going to go to university.
For sure.
You know, so we try and tackle the problem at two levels. And we work with the Department of Education, with the Health Department. We work with other you know, private companies. You know, if I may mention, Microsoft, for instance, is digitizing the book for us.
Okay.
So it's about partnerships and how we can leverage these partnerships to reach as many people as we can.
That's really interesting. You know, when a woman walks into a shop or wherever the book is purchased, what type of woman do you see coming out on the other side once they get to the other end of the book?
Wow, that's a powerful one. You know, I mean, the purpose of the book was to inform, educate, and share knowledge. So this book, when we started writing, it took us 3 years to put it together. And we kept asking ourselves, who are we writing for? Is this for a woman who lives in Sandton or a woman in Limpopo? You know, who is this person that we write for? And we ultimately discovered that actually it cuts across the board. So okay. It's a book that a young university student or a secondary school student can find information that is relevant to them in here. I mean, there's issues on contraception, as I said, bursaries and what have you.
Sure.
So it addresses most issues that women face across the ages and across the board. And I'm hoping that anybody who picks up this book will, you know, read it and keep it and refer to it because it's a reference book.
Yeah.
We're not selling the book at this stage. We're partnering with people who will produce more of it, you know, to distribute. We're targeting NGOs, hospitals, and school libraries to put this book into. And there is a version that is available on our website to be downloaded.
That's really amazing.
Really someone is. Sent me a question. She says, do people have an obligation to help others or should people be responsible for themselves? Please ask Dr. Motsipe for me.
Yeah, I think that's a very poignant question because with the foundation, we always, our tagline is we want to help our people help themselves. You know, they say you can't give a person a fish. You have to teach them how to fish so they can help themselves. So we always emphasize sustainability in every project that we do. We want people to be able to live independent lives and help themselves. Do you have an obligation? No, you don't, and yes, you do. Because we have this phrase that Dada taught us, the Ubuntu thing. Yeah, and we've grown up like that. Philanthropy is not something that's new. We used to borrow, you used to borrow sugar with your neighbors. I know you guys don't do it now, but when I grew up,
never.
No. I grew up in Soweto.
We did.
We still do. Actually,
we still do.
We still do.
Maybe you borrow airtime, but in my days, it was really borrowing sugar. So helping each other has always been something that is in our culture as Black people.
Are you ever going to go on vacation? By that I mean, is it ever going to be about you at some point in life?
You know, I have this thing. When you go on a trip and you go on an aeroplane, they always say to you, the air hostess will say to you, put on your own mask before you help the people sitting next to you, you know, whether it's your child or somebody else. So, and that is significant. You've got to help yourself before you try and help anybody else. So I do try and look after myself also.
You can't treat yourself like a workhorse. Like, you can't be running all day, every day. At some point, you're going to need to sit down.
You need to slow down. You know? Yeah.
Like, no one wants to deal with a tired person all the time. You need to revive yourself a little bit.
With that being said, what do you do to relax, to break away from the work and everything in between? What is it that you do? And you're like, this is my space and this is me relaxing right now.
I can see you guys really love your job. This is not work for you.
At all. I don't know why they try to tell us this is work. This is not work.
I'm glad your mom never told you, because this is what you were destined to do. Yeah. You know. So I think I relax in my work. We'll be in Cape Town end of this month, you know, from the 22nd to the 25th at Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week Cape Town. I'm going to be enjoying the mother city as well as watching some amazing shows. And that's relaxing.
That's the perks of the work.
I have one final naughty question. You can choose to not answer it, but because I want to do it and it's in my mind. Can I get into the Motsipe bedroom just for a little bit?
What?
Hold on. Wait.
No, just let
not
me
judging,
put this out.
Friend.
Let me put this out
not
as
even.
A disclaimer. Newo always does this. So, like,
Newo, I have 3 young men who might be listening.
No, no, it's not that naughty. Yeah. Throughout the interview, you've said, you've called your husband Mr. Mutsipe, Tate Mutsipe. Yeah. Do you have like a pet name, like a sweet, like a baby or like bae? You know, something you call, like, oh, my lover, my ponko nuno, sweet lamb, something. I'm just trying to get in. You don't have to answer.
Sweet moon.
I mean, my Mutsipe Lisha, something.
Oh no, I don't have to answer it.
No, you don't.
You don't.
Thank you.
Okay,
but you do. Clearly, you do. But you don't have to answer it.
We don't. But I mean, if we can talk about your marriage for a second, I'll stay out of the bedroom. I promise to stay out of the bedroom. You know, a lot of people have tons of perceptions about, you know, power couples, as they're called. Do you ever find yourself in situations whereby you might be, I don't know how to phrase this question, but like, do you ever feel that your relationship is ever attacked or under attack because of the people that you are and because of the notoriety that you have? I mean, it's not like you guys can walk around without being noticed type thing.
Well, you know, I've been with my husband now for 30 years.
Wow.
We met at varsity. And I think the one thing that attracted me to him is just his humility and his love for people. We have the same values. We're both Catholic. We drag each other to church every Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. You know, when one doesn't feel like going, the other one's like, come, let's go. We have to go and give thanks, you know. So I don't think we take this to our heads. We don't make it become us. We know who we are.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And,
yes.
You know, we try and stay grounded. And we teach our children that as well.
Can we put, like, billboards everywhere of, if you're going to live your life, this is how you should do it? like just
do everywhere. It like this.
Yeah, do like this. Yeah.
I have...
You have
5 questions.
Jeez.
No, okay. But it's...
You've got 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I know. Let's... okay. It's either you choose this or that.
Okay.
Yeah. Summer or winter?
Winter.
Theater or cinema?
Jeez, can I choose both? I'm gonna laugh.
Book or movie?
Book.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Day or night?
Oh, my word. Day.
Damn. There you go.
I'm gonna scream for the bedroom.
Damn it.
See, it wasn't that hard.
That was cool.
I was happy with the winter answer.
Yeah, the winter, yeah. Winter.
Whoa, hey. Come on, winter.
Already, it must just arrive.
Yeah. All right. Looking at the time, we are gonna have to get out of here.
Damn.
In closing, how do people get into, you know, get their hands on a copy of this book? Where do they go if they want to be maybe help out as well as in your initiatives with the foundation? How do they get into contact with you? That kind of, maybe put it in a nutshell.
Oh, thank you.
I
so
love
much.
Saying nutshell. I don't know why.
It's a new thing. It's a great thing. The book currently is available on our website, so people can actually get on the website and download it.
That is the themutsipefoundation.org.
That is correct, yes.
There you go.
We will be distributing it, as I said, in libraries, in schools. Microsoft is helping us to digitize. So for young people who like their, you know, cell phones, you will be able to check on your phone and get information on the morning after pill if you need one urgently, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. that is the type of interaction that we hope, you know, we will get with the book. But for now, this is where it's available. And if you want to assist with the foundation, again, you can write to info@themutsipefoundation.org.
Short and sweet.
You know?
That was really a nutshell. Really juicy one.
Your social media presence.
She's not on social media.
She's not.
She has a fake Twitter account. It's not her.
Okay.
Look out for that one.
Look out. Yeah.
No, the foundation has a social media presence here.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So there you have it. Such a fantastic, fantastic show.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been so blessed to come across so many inspirational, thought-provoking individuals.
Yeah.
And for those of you that were listening, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed having her in studio. So you've got all the information, the Mutsipe Foundation.org. That's where you can get yourself a copy of the book. And please, the men out there, get yourself a copy as well.
I agree.
Yeah. This whole mishmash of us trying to block women from doing what they want to do is rubbish. Needs to come to an end. Considering the fact that we might just be on the precipice of having a female president in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Could you believe it? It could happen.
It could.
It could.
Very happen. Much so. Very much
whether,
so.
Whether
you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. And Tuli Madonsela, if she's a proxy, she's a proxy. It's none of your business.
You know?
All right. Just like that, we're out of here. Neo, I'm so happy you're back.
Yeah, man.
Your hand should heal in quick time. We don't want to miss you anymore. Okay?
No, this thing is not on.
It's not at all. All right, it's about that time for us to get the hell up out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch us next week, same time, same place. But other than that, you can download the podcast.
Yeah. CliffCentral.com.